All right, Rabbo, say good morning. I meant to put out on the chat yesterday that another incredible upcoming daf. But I think you know it already. You know it in your heart. You know that it's incredible. It's incredible every single day. Man, it just gets better and better. Okay, so we'll say, so today's daf is Pei Tes 89. And we are picking up on Pei Ches 88b. And we are picking up Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Want to begin by thanking our sponsors, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Justin and Abigail Rosemore, for dedicating all the Shuman Drushas this month in memory of their beloved son, Kobi Chaim Yaakov David, Zichron of the Racha Ben Yosef Tzadok. We thank Alan and Sue Marowitz and family, Jason, Deborah, Justin, Rebecca, Mindy, Simcha, and all of the grandchildren for dedicating all of the Shi'urim and Drushas. Is this Chusavara Fushlima for Sue? Shulam is Tova Bas Mindel. Sue had her bone marrow transplant yesterday, and we hope that Emir Tz Hashem should just take. Emir Tz Hashem should be successful, and Emir Tz Hashem, she should just have a complete and enduring refuah. And also with that, let us begin. It's a beautiful daf ahead of us today. And let's go. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Kol Dibar V'Dibar Shetzim Epi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yotzitzan Nishmasin Shal Yisrael. Every single time HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, every dibra that came out of God's kiviyachol mouth, Klal Yisrael died. Literally, again, they're in a shamas, separated from their body. Shene'emar yotza nafshi bedabro. Ume'achar shemen dibra rishon yotza san nishmasan dibra sheni'ich kiblu. So, one second. So we'll say, again, you only die once. So once HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, or Anochi, and you tell me that their souls left their body, we'll say, by the way, the Ma'aral explains, what does it mean their souls left their body? What it means is that when the Neshama hears the word of God, the Neshama pines so badly to return to Shamayim. So what happens? So the Neshama heard a familiar voice that it hadn't heard for many years since it left the celestial seer. The Neshama leapt out of the bodies. It just jumped out. But says the Gemara, but one second. Once it leaves, so what does it mean it left every single Dibur? To which the Gemara says, it's such a beautiful image. So the tal, the dew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring in the Messianic era. So apparently the way Tchias HaMesim is going to work, resurrection of the dead is going to work, is that there's going to be a special resurrection dew that is going to fall and that is going to create Tchias HaMesim. Says the Gemara, that dew that will fall in Yemos HaMashiach fell during Matan Torah as well. Vechi Osam Shneemar Geshem Nedavos Tanif Elokim Nachlasecha Vanila Atakonanta Va'am Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Levi Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shatzei Epi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chazur Yisrael Acharei Yud Beis Mil. We'll say this is incredible. The Yehoshua Ben Levi says every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Klal Yisrael moved 12 mil back from the mountain. Of course, we have to imagine that it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming to hear God. So just probably without even realizing every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Klal Yisrael moved back. They ended up moving back. So by the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu finishes speaking, you know, or every word, they've already moved back from the mountain such a far distance. So beautiful. The Malachi Asharis, the angels, would nudge them back towards the mountain. Shene'emar Malachi Tzevakos Yedudun. Yedimar says, Al Tikri Yedudun Ela Yedudun. Don't read it that the Malachim would hop, right? Or the Malachim would walk. Rather, again, read it that the Malachim caused Klal Yisrael to go ahead and walk for us. We'll see another beautiful imagery. Because you could imagine that Klal Yisrael hears every dibur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they become scared and overwhelmed. So it's natural that when you become scared of something, you move back. And what happens in that moment? The Malachim, probably in a beautiful, gentle way, help Klal Yisrael move back forward. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you more than you could ever know. So the Malachim take them and help nudge them back forward. Such a beautiful image. V'am Rebbe Shimon Levi. We'll say an incredible, incredible Gemara. V'am Rebbe Shimon Levi. B'shah sha'ala Moshe l'marum. Amru Malachi Asher Atzifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe when he went up to the heavens, the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma liyelod isha beninu. Why is there a man, a mortal? Now yelod isha, Bosai, ultimately means one born to a woman. Why is there one born to a woman in our midst? Now Bosai, what this means was the Malachim were a shtickle outraged that there was a mortal, a mere mortal in the celestial sphere. So what is there a mortal? Amar lahem, the Kabbal Torah ba. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Malachim is here, Moshe Benu is here to receive the Torah. Amru lefanav, chamuda genuza, shegenuza lechatesha me'asa shevim ve'arba doros, kodem shnevra olam, at mevakesh litna lebasvudam. So the Malachim are incredulous. Kadosh Baruch Hu, a beautiful treasure that you've been keeping in your storehouse for 974 generations before the world was created, which is another way of saying Torah pre-existed the universe. So you're going to take this beautiful treasure that pre-existed the universe and you're going to give it to a man? You're going to give it to a guy? You're going to give it to a mere mortal? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Ma enosh tekisiskerenu ben adam kisifkedenu. They quote the Pasuk from Tehillim. What is man that he should be remembered? And ben adam, the son of man, that he should be counted? Hashem adoneinu ma'adir shimcha b'chala aretz asher tnehotcha ala ha'shamayim. The Malachim say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tnehotcha, place your glory on the heavens, which is another way of saying, keep Torah here. Keep Torah here. Do not go ahead and send Torah down to the earth. So this is incredible. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, no, give them an answer. Give them an answer. So he'll say, this is incredible. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, you justify the transfer of the Torah from the heavens to the earth. So Moshe says, I'm scared that the Malachim are going to hurt me. Literally, again, that they're going to burn me with the breath of their mouth. So Moshe is saying, I don't want to get into it with the Malachim. I'm scared of the Malachim. Amar lo, echos b'kisei kvodi, v'chazal anshilach. His brother says, don't be scared. Hold on to my throne, that'll protect you, and give them back an answer. Shne'emar, me'achaz p'nei kisei parsha zalav ananu. So we'll say, milamech, v'amrav nachav, milamech, shepirish shakai miziv shechinaso, v'ananu alav. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided his protection to Moshe Rabbeinu, and as a result, he was able to go ahead and answer the Malachim. And I will say, this in and of itself, there's so much to say in all of these Gemaras, but understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying over here. We'll say, God's not going to fight your battles in life. God doesn't fight your battles. That happened once, right? That happened when we were leaving Egypt, right? And the Egyptians were in pursuit. And what does Moshe say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Klal Yisrael? Hashem yilachim lachem ba'atem tacharishun. God will fight your battles, you be quiet. That's it. That's it. Every other battle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you got to fight it. I'm happy to help you. But you have to fight the battle. So Moshe Rabbeinu, you think you, Klal Yisrael, deserve Torah? Fight the battle. Tell the Malachim why you deserve. So we'll say, incredible, incredible Gemara. Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, Torah shata nosein li maksibe. So we'll say, here is Moshe Rabbeinu's argument to the Malachim that Torah belongs with man and not with the Malachim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does Torah say in it? It says, I am Hashem, your God who took you out of Egypt. Amar lahem, he said to the Malachim, L'mitzrayim yiradatem, L'paro hishtabaratem, Torah lamateh lochem. Tell me, Malachim, did you go down to Egypt? Were you in 210 years of servitude? Did Pharaoh lord over you? And obviously the answer is no. If that's the case, why do you need Torah? Shuv maksibei. Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim ben amim atem shurim sha'ovdin petas sha'ovdin avodah zarah. Right? Do you live amongst the nations? Ultimately, again, who worship idolatry? That you need to be warned not to worship idolatry. Shuv maksibah. What else does the Torah say? Zachres u'mashabes lekadsho. Remember the Shabbos to sanctify it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, Klum atem osim melacha, sha'atem tzrichim shuvos. Do you work during the week that you need to rest on the seventh day? Shuv maksibe, what else does it say in the Torah? Lo sisa, it says, do not take God's name in vain. Masu matan yesh b'nechem, right? Remember, don't swear falsely. So very often Moshe Rabbeinu says that would happen when in business dealings, people would swear that they were honest or swear that they delivered merchandise. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, tell me, Malachim, do you engage in business? Maksiba kabedes avicha ve'asimecha. What does the Torah say? Honor your mother and father. Av va'im yishlochem. Do you have parents? Shuv matksibbe. Lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, lo signov. Malachim says in the Torah, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Kina yesh b'nechem, is there jealousy amongst you? Yetzer hara yesh b'nechem, is there an evil inclination between you? So we'll say, what is Moshe Rabbeinu? So Moshe Rabbeinu successfully shows that what is Torah? We'll say, what is Torah? Torah is the vehicle for personalistic refinement. Torah is the vehicle for how we become the best version of ourselves. So Moshe says to the Malachim, you don't need it. You are the best version of yourselves. The truth is, you're the only version of yourselves, right? There's no like Malach 1.0, Malach 2.0, right? This is it. There's no like Malach who's a Baal Tshuva, Malach who's struggling, this Malach's off the derech, this one's more from, this one's less from, this one, you're a Malach. That's what it is. Chosh Baruch Hu creates your identity, and that is your immutable identity. So tell me, what do you need Torah for? Right? The beauty of Torah is that it is the vehicle, it is the kli, it is the utensil through which we are able to achieve cathartic change. It is the vehicle through which we are able to go ahead and become something spectacular. So what do you need it for? Malachim, what do you need it for? So we'll say what happened is incredible. So the Malachim ultimately again accept Moshe Rabbeinu's argument. You're right. You are right. You're saying good. Ultimately, again, the Malachim stop asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to keep his glory in Shamayim, in the celestial sphere. They accept the argument of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, Miyad, kol echad ve'echad na'ase lo'ohev. And I'm going to say what happened. In that moment, the Malachim, who were at first very adversarial to Moshe Rabbeinu, now all come to love him, all become his friend. The Gemara says, Umasar lo davar, and the Malachim even gave Moshe Rabbeinu gifts. Shene'emar, Alisa lamarom, Shavisa shevi, Lakachta matonos. So the Gemara says, Ba'adam, Bishar shekaru ucha adam, Lakachta matonos. Because they called you Adam, meaning the Malachim were very disparaging of Moshe at first, they ended up giving him gifts. Incredible. So the Malachim not only agreed to the transfer of Torah, but they even accepted Moshe, right? They saw the greatness of Moshe and they gave him gifts, whatever those gifts were. Af Malach HaMavis Masol Odover. Even the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, gave Moshe Rabbeinu a gift. What was the gift that the Malach HaMavis gave? Shene'emar, Vayitin Es HaKetores, Vayichaper Al Ha'am. Because the Pasuk says that Moshe, this is talking about by one of the Magefas, one of the plagues of Klal Yisrael that was wiping out the nation. It was actually the aftermath of Korach, of the rebellion of Korach. So remember, again, there was a Magefa, there was a plague that was killing people. So what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu took Ketores, and the Ketores ended the plague. Ilav do Amar, so Moshe said, where did Moshe Rabbeinu know this from? God didn't command Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Ketores. So where did Moshe Rabbeinu learn that Ketores was an antidote to death? And the answer the Gemara says was from the Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis himself taught this to Moshe Rabbeinu when Moshe Rabbeinu ascended on high to get the Torah. Incredible. Incredible. So we'll say more with Matan Torah. Rav Moshe Ben Levi. B'shash yard Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's listen to this. When Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu, so now we'll say that we're following chronological order. So Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah, he comes down from Har Sinai. What happened? So Bas Satan, so the Satan comes along. Apparently the Satan wasn't there. Right? Apparently the Satan was there. And I will say, this is actually very interesting because the Gemara in Baba Basra says that the Satan and Malach HaMavis are the same angel. Same angel. It's clear according to this Gemara that they're not. Right? Because again, remember the Gemara just said the Malach HaMavis was there. Vaharaya, right? The proof to that is he gave a gift to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now you have the Satan coming along and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, where's Torah? You know, I leave here for 5 minutes. Right? Where is Torah? Where did Torah go? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, interestingly enough, that all he says is, I gave Torah to the earth. Torah is not here anymore, I gave it to the earth. Loba Shamayim, I gave it to the earth. Halach Eitzel Aretz, so the Satan comes to the earth. Amrle, Torah Nechini, says the Satan says the earth, where is the Torah? Amrlo, Elokim, Haven Darko. He says, so the earth says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows where it is. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows where it is. Now what the earth was saying is, it's not with me, I don't have it. Meaning God knows where it is, but I don't have it. Halach Eitzel Yam. So he goes to the sea, the Satan goes to the sea. V'amar lo, the sea says to the Satan, Eini Madi, I don't have it. Halach Eitzel Tahom, he goes to the depths of the earth. Amar le, Ein Bi, the Tahom says, I don't have Torah. Shneimar Tahom, Amar lo Bi, he. V'yam Amar Eini Madi. Avdon umaves amar ba'aznenu shamanu. So the Gemara says shamanu chazer va'amar lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens? So the Malach Amaves comes back to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Ribon Shalom, chipasti b'chol ha'aretz v'lo mitzasiya. I looked everywhere. You told me you gave Torah to the earth. I looked everywhere and I can't find it. Right? The earth doesn't know where it is. The sea doesn't know where it is. The Tahom, the depths don't know where it is. Amar lo lech etzel ben Amram. Go to Ben Amram. Go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Halach Eitzel Moshe will say, watch this. So the Satan comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar lo Torah shnasla HaKadosh Baruch Hu heichan hi. So Satan says, Moshe, where is the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you? Amar lo, both say first wide line. Dichi ma ani shenasan li HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Satan, you think Hashem gave me the Torah? Who am I that Hashem should give me the Torah? So we'll say, watch this. Amar li HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe badai ata. God calls out, Moshe, you're a liar. You're a liar. I gave you Torah. Why are you saying that you don't have Torah? Amra the fun of Ribbono Shel Olam, Chamuda Ginuza Yesh Lecha, Sha'ata Mishtasheh Ba B'chol Yom. So Moshe says, Ribbono Shel Olam, you have a beautiful treasure that you literally involve yourself in each and every day. Ani Achzik Tova Liatzmi. Am I going to go ahead and literally again attribute the goodness to myself? Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Chodesh Baruch Hu, I feel very awkward saying to the Satan that you gave me Torah. It's not me. First of all, you didn't give it to Moshe, you gave it to Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I feel very awkward saying that something that was considered to be the greatest treasure in the celestial sphere, yes, God gave it to me. So out of my discomfort in taking that credit that God gave me the Torah, I said to the Satan, I don't know what you're talking about. Amli HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe is so beautiful. Holyo umi atata be'atzmecha. Since you went ahead and you humbled yourself, literally again, you made yourself small. Tikra al shmecha. Torah will be called by your name. Shne'emar zichru toras Moshe avdi. Hey, Tebo, say, isn't it incredible that Torah is eternally known as toras Moshe? Toras Moshe. Right? Whose Torah is it? It's Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. It's Am Yisrael's Torah. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. It is Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. Why is it Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah? Because with such humility, Moshe Rabbeinu approached this whole thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, with that humility, Torah will forever be known by your name. Which always tells us something amazing, which is a theme we all know. Sfarim will write this idea that the prerequisite to acquiring greatness in Torah is humility, which makes sense on multiple levels. First of all, again, it's emulating Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to receive Torah ultimately because of his humility. And on a simpler level, humility by definition allows one to say, I don't know everything. There's room for growth. There's room for improvement. When you live your life with that mindset, then ultimately, again, you internalize the lessons of Torah. If a person doesn't feel that way, a person feels they're just fine. A person feels they're good where they are. A person feels there's no need for growth. There's no need for change. So Torah matehei aleha. What's the Torah can't do anything for you if you don't let it in. So the Gemara goes right. I'm showing Levi. B'shar sha'ala Moshe l'marom matzala kadosh baruch hushel kosher k'sarim la'osios. It was so beautiful. Moshe went up to the celestial sphere. This is what I'm saying. We're going a little bit out of order. He's going now to receive Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens to receive Torah. He saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tying crowns on the letters. They will say what this is a reference to. Of course, if you ever look inside of a Sefer Torah, you'll notice that some of the letters have tagim, what we call crowns, right? Have like a crown on top of it. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu going ahead and literally like fastening or writing the crowns on top of the letters. Well, say obviously there are many layers of symbolism to all of these Gemaras that we don't have time for it now, but this is a beautiful, beautiful imagery that even the crowns, right? Sibo said part of the beauty of Torah is that not only are the words and their meaning meaningful, but ultimately, again, even the letters themselves, have kiddusha. Even the way that the letters are written, even the way they're fashioned, even the smallest nuances of the crowns on top of the letters are ultimately, again, manifestations of their inherent holiness. So Moshe then comes up to the heavens and he sees the Kadosh Baruch Hu tying crowns on the letters. Amar lo. So we'll say, watch this. So apparently the image is Moshe then just stands there. He waits for God to finish. Amar lo Moshe. Eim lecha shalom b'irecha. So it's a great line. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, what? They don't say hello where you come from? They don't say hello where you come from? So let's say, what's great, you see from here that even the Rimon Shalom is Jewish, right? You see, right? And only Jews talk like this. But they don't say hello where you come from? They don't say hello? You don't know how to, your mother didn't teach you how to say hello? You're right? You don't know how to greet people? It's incredible. So let's say, since the Chalash Prophet says to Moshe, you're not going to give me Shalom? You're not going to say hello to me? I'm on the fund of Klum Yesh Evich, no saying Shalom L'Rabo. So Moshe says, I felt it would be disrespectful. Does a servant greet the master? No, first the master greets the servant, and then, only then, does the servant respond in kind. Amalei hayilachala azreni. So nevertheless, Chodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, you should have offered to help me. Now listen, Rashi says, what does it mean that you should have offered to help me? La'azreni, lomar titzlach melachtecha. You should have given me a bracha. This is God talking to Moshe. You should have given me a bracha that I should be successful in my endeavors. So we'll say, first of all, this is an incredible. Amiyad amalo v'akto yigdana koach Hashem kasher dibarta. And sure enough, Moshe, when he gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu a bracha, ribono shel olam, your koach should intensify as you had mentioned. So we'll say, this happens to be a very beautiful lesson here. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach Moshe was, when you see someone engaged in something, provide them with positive encouragement. Now, whether or not you're going to actively help yourself, that's a different discussion. But when you see someone engaged in an endeavor, give them positive encouragement. Give them, so Ribono Shel Olam is tying the letters, is tying the crowns on the letters. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing there. He's just standing there. So now, again, from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, that's because at the end of the day, I'm the Eved, I'm the servant, you're the master. It's not Bakavadik for the servant to begin the dialogue with the master. Because Baruch Hu says, if you see me doing something, wish me hatzlacha. You see me doing something, give me words of positive encouragement. And Moshe, how incredible, important is this? Whether it's with our children, whether it's with our spouse, whether it's with our friends, our co-workers. You know what the beauty of positive encouragement is? It's free, and there's an inexhaustible supply. So you give someone a word of chizuk, you know, hatzlacha, and you see you're working hard. Good job, or continue forward, whatever formulation you want to use. It's so incredibly profound and impactful. And we know, because when you've been on the receiving end of that, sometimes that little extra push, little extra chizik is exactly what you need in difficult times. That positive word of encouragement that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu is so profoundly important. The Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shoma Levi, Mai da Amar Vayara Am Kiboshesh Moshe. So what says incredible? What does it mean? Now obviously we are now going ahead and moving to the story of the Chet HaEgel, back to the sin of the golden calf a little bit. So what does it mean when the Pasuk says that the people saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was delayed in coming down from the mountain? Al Tikri Boshesh Ela Baushesh. Don't read it as Boshesh, rather Baushesh, which means the sixth hour had arrived. What does that mean? Here we go. B'shar sha'ala Moshe l'amarav, Amar l'an Yisrael, l'sof arbaim yom b'tchila sheish anibam. When Moshe went up to the mountain to receive the Torah, he tells Klal Yisrael, I'll be back in 40 days, and I'll be back within the first 6 hours of the 40th day. So the Gemara says, what happened? So the 40th day came, and the Satan came and sowed the seeds of confusion in the world. So he says to Klal Yisrael, tell me, where's Moshe? Where's your Rabbi? So they said, Moshe Rabbeinu is in the celestial sphere, he's in the heavens. So Satan says, but 1 second, it's already past 6 hours and he's not back. But the people ignored the Satan. Mace, the Satan told the people, Moshe died, that's why he's not back. And they paid no attention to him. The Satan showed the people an image of Moshe Rabbeinu on a funeral bier. Right? They showed him an image in a coffin. Behind Aaron, Moshe Ishmael. At that point, I will say, so everything fell apart. Klal Yisrael believed the Satan that Moshe Rabbeinu had indeed died, and it was that led the way ultimately again to the Chete Egel. So the Gemara says, Amar Leahumir Abanul Rav Kahana. Now, of course, the answer is that, remember. Actually, if you look at Rashi, the very important Rashi, Kisha Ala Moshe, excuse me. Rashi says, Kisha Ala Moshe, mostly a very important Rashi. Lahar Amrala Musof Mem Yom Ani Ba. Moshe even told Klal Yisrael, I'll be back in 40 days. But Besok She Shos, Haim Svurim, Sha'ose Yom Sha'ala Ba Minam Minyan, Hava, Vu Amrala Mem Yom Shleimim Yom Velelo Imo. So remember again, here was the point of confusion. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going up for 40 days and 40 nights. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, I'm going up for a complete 40 days and 40 nights. Which means that the day Moshe Rabbeinu ascended did not count as part of the 40. Now Moshe Rabbeinu did not explicitly articulate this to Klal Yisrael. Hence the confusion. So they considered the day that Moshe Rabbeinu went up as day one. As a result, their day 40 was in fact day 39. That's why, again, everything breaks apart, right? Because Klal, and again, the Satan's interference did not help with all of this as well. And that is why they begin to unravel. Rashi points out, here's the timeline. Shari b'zayim b'sivan Allah. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain on the 7th of Sivan. Nimsa mem yom b'yudzayim b'tamuz. 40 days was the 17th of Tammuz. B'yudvav bas satan v'irviv salam. So let's remember again, we'll say, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on the 17th of Tammuz. Now we know it for all the wrong reasons. We know because Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, he smashes the luchos. And that is one of the reasons why the 17th of Tammuz ultimately again is a Yom Tzom, is a fast day. So, but on the 16th of Tammuz, the day before, they thought that it was the end of the 40 days. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. And so they build the golden calf. Ba'asatam eres ha'olam. Ve'her demus choshech va'afil demus anan va'arafel ve'arvuvio. Lomar vaday meis Moshe. Shahare bo'u kvar sheish ve'lo ba'. The Efshalomer Shalotan, as well as I say again. So that's you see ultimately again what happened over here. Rishabo say, if you think about it, by the way, it's also such a profound mussar that sometimes in life we assume people understand things. And then when they act in a certain way that is hurtful to us, we assume that at the end of the day they're acting with forethought and in a very purposeful way to hurt me. But sometimes there are so many profound misunderstandings that are at the core and the foundation of relationship. But also, here's something amazing. When you read this story, not excusing Klal Yisrael's behavior with the Chete Egel, that was a wrong act. It was wrong. Even if they thought Moshe Rabbeinu was dead, at the end of the day, there was a way to deal with it. But you know what it all comes down to? Is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give them explicit instructions, right? Moshe assumed they understood that 40 days started from that night, that the day that he went up did not count. They didn't assume that, obviously. So how incredible is it that had Moshe Rabbeinu potentially articulated that point, potentially, it could be, that's what, that the Egel wouldn't have been built. If the Egel wouldn't have been built, we would have gone right into Eretz Yisrael. If we'd have gone right into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash. And then Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash would have never been destroyed. Beis HaMikdash never been destroyed, there would have never been Galus. If there would have not been Galus, we wouldn't be here, right, learning in Baltimore over Zoom. And a whole variety of different things. And all of that is trickled back to what? Because people weren't explicit in their communication. Can you imagine that? So again, I will say, sometimes don't assume that people know what you want, how you want it, or what you need. But ultimately, again, take the extra few minutes, clarify your words so that everyone is on the same page. It saves an incredible amount of heartache, difficulty, and tragedy. Incredible. So the Gemara goes right there. We'll say, here we go. So we'll say one of the rabbis once said to Rav Kahana, did you ever hear, what's the meaning of Har Sinai? Why is Har Sinai called Har Sinai? Because it's the mountain where miracles, Sinai Nisim, miracles are made for Klal Yisrael. I think if that's the case, then it should have said Har Nisoi mi boyle. It's not Har Sinai, it should have been Har Nisoi. Ela Har Shenasa Simen Tov li Yisrael. Rather, it was the mountain that became a Simen Tov, a good omen for Klal Yisrael. If that's the case, Har Simanoi mi boyle. It should have been called Har Simanoi. Amarle, they said to him, My time alo shchichas kamei d'rav papa v'rav huna b'rei d'rav Yehoshua d'ma'ayni ba'agaratav d'rav chista v'rav b'rei d'rav huna. So let's say, so listen to this. So then this Talmud Chacham was giving Musa Trafka, and he says, why is it that you don't come to the shiurim of Rav Papa and Rav Huna? Because they spend all of their time darshaning Agarta. You should come to shiur. Let's say, you should come to shiur. This is what happens when you don't come to shiur. You don't really answer to some of the questions. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista, Rav Huna, Dharmitar, Vayu, my Har Sinai, what's Har Sinai? Har Sheyarda Sina Li'akum. It's a mountain upon which animosity for the nations of the world came down to this world. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'inu dam Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, hey Shem." So we'll say, what does it mean? Because remember, again, I will say, on this mountain, remember, this goes with the narrative that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the nations of the world first, and each and every one of them declined. So we'll say, Klal Yisrael said yes. So not only was Klal Yisrael singled out as a chosen nation, but there was a certain level of animosity that was created between God and the nations of the world because they refused this most precious gift. Sahar Sinai, the Gemara is suggesting, is Har Sheyarda Sina Leumos Ha'olam. It's the mountain upon which a certain amount of animosity towards the nations of the world descended. So the Gemara says, Hey Shemus, Hey Shalom in Bart Sin, Shenestavi Yisrael Love. There are five names that were given to Midbar Tzin, which is Midbar Sinai, which is where the Torah was given. Midbar Kadesh is called the desert of Kadesh, Niskachi Yisrael Alav, because it was in that desert, or in that part of the desert, where Klal Yisrael became sanctified. Midbar Kedemos Shinasnu Kedumos Alav, Keduma Alav, it's called Midbar Kedemos, because at the end of the day, again, Klal Yisrael was made first in that desert. Midbar Paran, it's called Midbar Paran, Amadeis, Sheparu Beravu Alav, because again, we were fruitful and multiplied in that desert. So we'll say, Rashi points out, that's a reference, we saw this already a few days ago, that after Matan Torah, remember there were days of Prisha, days of separation, which preceded Matan Torah, but after the days of separation, after Kabbalah's Torah, Moshe then says to Klal Yisrael, V'atem, Shuvalachem Li'o'alechem, go back and resume normative intimate relationships with your wives. And therefore, apparently, there was a very high birth rate after Matan Torah. Quite incredible. So the Gemara says, Midbar Sinai, Sheyarda Sina La'akum. It's called Midbar Sinai. Why? Because there was a certain amount of animosity that devolved upon the nations of the world in the aftermath of Kabbalah's HaTorah. Umashmo, what is the actual name? The actual name? Chorev. What's the actual name of the mountain is Chorev. So we'll say that's, so Sinai, interesting enough, it's not called Sinai. Har Sinai is a descriptive name. The real name is Chorev. Upligud Rabbi Avo. This argument is not Rabbi Avo, because what does Rabbi Avo say? Don't Rabbi Avo, Har Sinai Shmo. Its name is really Har Sinai. The Lama Nikra Har Chorev. Why is it called Chorev? Sheyarda Churva Li'akum Alov. Because literally, again, destruction descended upon the nations of the world, ultimately, again, as a result. And we'll say, going back to this motif, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like a shtickle offended that the nations of the world did not accept Torah, and their non-acceptance, just like acceptance, fundamentally changed our relationship with God, non-acceptance by the nations of the world fundamentally changed their relationship with God as well. So Rabbi says, so again, Machlokes is the name of the mountain Chorev, and Sinai is descriptive, or is the name of the mountain Sinai, is the name of the mountain Sinai, and Chorev is descriptive? That's a machlokes. Good. So we'll say now we effectively leave, which was such an incredible Gemara's, about the narrative for Sinai and transition to another beautiful Gemara. So the Gemara goes weiter. So let's remember again, the next part of the Mishnah was, go back to the Mishnah, how do we know that we tie a string of red wool by the horns of the Seir La'azazel? So remember again, two goats that were offered up on Yom Kippur. One was offered up on the Mizbeach, on the altar. The other one was taken to Azazel, to a barren part of the desert, and pushed off the cliff. So the Gemara says, how do we know that a piece of red string was tied on the horns of the goat that was pushed off the cliff. So the Gemara says, Kashanim. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, because the Pasuk said, if your sins will be as red as crimson wool, kashala galbinu, I will make them white like the snow. So therefore the red string, which symbolized sin, was tied on the horns of the Seir La'azazel, the goat that was pushed off the cliff, whose job it was to atone for us. So says the Gemara, interesting, kashanim ibayle. Why? So we'll say, see, if you translate the pasuk literally, it's imyuchat eichem kashanim. If your sins will be red like wools, kashanim is plural. So says the Gemara, why does it say wools plural? Right? Why doesn't it just say kashani wool? Right? Because remember, we'll say that's even right. Why doesn't it say wool? And we'll say it's so beautiful. I remember Yitzchak Amram Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, because this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us: imyuchat eichem kashanim halalu. It's a little bit of a play on words. Shanim means red wool, and shanim also means what? Years. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us like this: even if you have sinned so much, like the number of years since the beginning of creation, kashela galbinu, I'll still make you as white as snow. We'll say, what an incredible pasuk. Im yuchat eichem kashanim. Two meanings. If your sins are as red as crimson wool, or if you have such a voluminous amount of sin, kashanim, like the years since the beginning of time, kashala galbinu. If you want to change, I'll help you effect change. Kadosh Baruch Hu telling us, no person is beyond salvation. No person is beyond repair. No matter how broken a person may be and how sin-filled a person may be, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, how red you may be or how many years of sin you have under your belt, kashanim yal, keshala yalbinu. If you want to do tshuva, I'll help you become as white and as pure as snow. So beautiful. Dar Shrava, ma'idich sev luchuna. So what's that? By the way, Moses quoting the same pasuk. This is just the beginning of that pasuk. Luchuna v'nivachacha yomar Hashem. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Luchuna, what does it mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go now, bo'una, it should mean come now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting us to come back into tshuva. So the Gemara says, yomar Hashem, amar Hashem yiboyle. It shouldn't say God will say, but Hashem said. So the Gemara says, well, isn't that beautiful? This is Liyasa Lava, incredible Gemara. Liyasa Lava in the future. Yom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to Klal Yisrael. By the way, whenever you see in the future, it's generally a reference to the Messianic era, generally. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say to Klal Yisrael, let's listen to this Gemara. L'chu Eitzalav Oseichem V'yochichu Eschem. Go to your forefathers and they're going to rebuke you. Go to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and they're going to give you Musar for the fact that you did not lead the right kind of lives. I would say, watch this. Who should we go to? Should we go to Avram? You know, God, when you told Avram that we're going to be slaves in Egypt, Avram didn't daven for us. So this is incredible. Klal Yisrael says, we're not judged by Avram. Because when Avram heard about our adversity and difficulty, he didn't daven for us, for things to be easier. Eitzel Yitzchak, and ultimately, should we go to Yitzchak for judgment? Shebirech is Esav, v'ayak hasher tardu v'lo bikesh rachim alenu. Yitzchak gave a bracha to Esav. And he said to Esav that when your brother Yaakov, when he throws off the yoke of Torah, you'll beat him down. So we should go to Yitzchak, who gave Esav a bracha, and as a result, Esav has afflicted us and hurt us so much throughout the generations. Eitzel Yaakov Shamartalo, Anochi Eret Imcha, Mitzrayma, V'lo Bikesh Rachamim Aleinu, to Yaakov, when you told Yaakov that we're going to go down, we're going to be slaves in Egypt, Yaakov didn't daven for us. Eitzel Mi Nelech. So Rabbi says, incredible. Klal Yisrael says, listen to what's happening over here. Klal Yisrael says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, essentially, we will not be judged by the patriarchs. Because the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they knew our difficulties, or they knew of our difficulties. They knew the future difficulties, and yet they did not advocate on our behalf. And therefore, because of that, we need not stand judgment by them. Achshav Yomar Hashem, Amal Makadosh Baruch Hu, Hoel Utlisem, Atzmechem Bi, Emuchata Echem, Kashanim, Kashela Yabina. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael says, we'll be judged. We'll be judged. We understand we deserve judgment. We've done things wrong. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only be judged by you and by you alone. An incredibly dramatic Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know what? I hear what you're saying. And because you're making yourselves fully dependent on me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even if your sins are as red as crimson wool, I will make you as white as snow. So I will say, sometimes the secret to success in life is just attaching yourself to Ribbono Shel Olam. If you're going to judge, you judge me. You're going to punish, you punish me. You're going to love me, you love me. Baruch Hu, I am totally and wholly in your hands. But also listen to this next Gemara. Incredible. Amar Rav Shlomo Nachman Yonason. Mai de Amar. What's the meaning of the pasuk? Ki ato avinu, ki Avram lo yadanu, vi Yisrael lo yakirenu, ato Hashem avinu galam miolam shmecha. So I'll say, what is the meaning of the pasuk when it says in Yeshaya, literally, you are our father. For Avram did not know us, Yisrael did not recognize us. You are Hashem, our father, our redeemer. Forever is your name. When messianic reckoning comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell Moshe, tell Avram Avinu, Avram, your children sinned. Well, if they sinned, they should be destroyed. Okay, if you sin, right, you do the crime, you do the time, that's it, right? So they sin, let them be destroyed. Amar Isadimar says, Amar Emar Levi Yaakov Davleitzar Gidul Bonim. Asher Dabai Rachmi Alayas. Remember, I will say, Kadosh Baruch Hu goes to the Avos because he wants them to advocate on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So he comes to Avram and he's surprised. He says, Avram, your children have sinned. Avram says, well, if they sin, they should be destroyed. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, let me go to Yaakov. Yaakov had a lot of problem with his kids. He understands Tzar Gidul Bonim. Right? So let me go to Yaakov. He'll probably advocate a bit better. Amar Barecha Chatu. He says, Yaakov, your children have sinned. Amar the father of Ribbono Shel Olam, Yimachu al Kiddush Hashemecha. They should be destroyed. So now Avram says they should be destroyed. Yaakov says so. Kadosh Baruch Hu is very frustrated. Amar lo b'sabi tama v'lo b'dardi ke'itza. The old man has no good reasoning and the young man has no counsel. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is frustrated. He was looking for an advocate. Amar lo liyitzchak banecha chatu. He comes to Yitzchak. Your children have sinned. Abbas, you're asking yourself, but one second, why did he skip Yitzchak? He went from Avram to Yaakov. It's very simple. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want to go to Yitzchak. One simple reason, what's the midah of Yitzchak? The midah of Yitzchak is din, is strict justice. Avram's chesed, Yaakovinu is shalom, or emes, or gvur, right, or tiferes. It's not din. See, he didn't want to go to Yitzchak because Yitzchak is din, and din says if you sin, you're dead. That's what it is. That's din. But it's only as a last resort when Avram and Yaakov were surprisingly harsh that he goes to Yitzchak. So he'll say, watch this conversation. I'm really fond of. So the Gemara says, Amr lo, li Yitzchak banecha chatu. Yitzchak, your children have sinned. Amr lo, fond of Ribbono Shel Olam, banai velo banecha. God, first of all, who are you calling your children? I would say, right, every person with a mishpacha has had this conversation with their spouse at some point in time, right? Usually it goes like you come home and the conversation usually is, you're not going to believe what your kids just did. Hey, right? my kids? I thought they were our kids. He'll say, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yitzchak, look what your kids did. And Yitzchak says, first of all, what do you mean my kids? What do you mean my kids? So Bishar Shek Dimu Lefanecha Nasal Nishakar Salam B'ni B'chori. Achshav B'ni V'lo B'necha. So Yitzchak gives Kadosh Baruch Hu a little bit of Musar. I say, I get it. When they say Nasa V'nishma, they're your kids. They're your kids, Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's when you love them. But now when they mess up, suddenly they're my kids and not your kids. Va'od, we'll say, listen to this Gemara. This will have to end. Va'od, Kamachatu. And Yitzchak says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, come on. How much could they really have sinned? Kamash nosav shel adam. What's the lifespan of a person? Shivim shana. By the way, David HaMelech says, a person lives 70 years. Halavai more. A person lives 70 years. So dal esrin delan ashtal. So what's he have to take off the first 20 years? Right? Because until a person is 20, they're not held accountable for their deeds by Beis Din Shel Mala, by the heavenly court. Parshalu chamshin. So that only leaves 50 years of an entire lifetime in order to be able to mess up. Dal chaf hei dilei lusa, take away 25 years, because 25 years of those 50 are nighttime and you're sleeping. You're sleeping. You both say, do you hear this? Do you hear this? I sleep through half of my life. You know what the crazy part is? many of us, unfortunately, sleep through even more than half of our lives. But even if you're a regular person, you sleep through at least 25 of those years. Pashalu chafe. So now, at most, there's 25 years left of an entire lifespan that I could go ahead and do something wrong. Let's listen to how wild this is. Dal tartin sariu palga, disaluye umechel de besakise. Out of the 25, take off another 17 and a half years. Why? Because half of the 25, you're using davening, eating, and going to the bathroom. Right? So out of a 70-year lifespan, the most Yitzchak Avinu says people could mess up is 17 and a half years. Pashlu tarta sari upalga. So the 17 and a half years that we can really mess up. Imata sovelas kula mutav. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I think you could absorb that. I think you could handle that. Ve'im lav, palga alai upalga didach. And if not, Yitzchak Avinu says, I'll split half of it with you. You absorb half of the guilt, I'll absorb half of the guilt. Vim timtzalomar kula alai. And if you say, Yitzchak, do I want you to absorb all of it? Yitzchak says, no. Hakarivas nafshi kamach. I already gave myself over to you once on the Akedah, right? I already put myself willingly on the altar once, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time for you to pick up part of the slack also over here. He'll say, is this not absolutely incredible? Va'amru ki ata avinu. Ultimately, again, so Yitzchak Avinu says, so I'm sorry, we say to Yitzchak Avinu, you are our father. You are our father. So we'll say, so amazingly enough, all this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael thought, Yitzchak is not the person you go to for the bailout, right? Yitzchak is not the guy. Yitzchak is Midas Hadin. And yet amazingly enough, Yitzchak is the one who advocates for Klal Yisrael. Quite incredible. So we'll say, so again, there's a number of things. I just want to point out before I have to stop over here, but there's a number of things that come out from this Gemara that are really quite dramatic, which is, first of all, again, it was that out of an entire lifespan, Yitzchak Avinu highlights, unfortunately, we use so little of it for productive, dynamic activity. Right? At Yitzchak Avinu's calculations, a lifespan of 70 years leaves 17 and a half years of productive activity. Now, of course, again, that doesn't include the time of tefillos or other thing like that, so there's more than that, which is really quite dramatic. Really, but again, the mussar is, and we know this from our own lives, that you look at a day, and how much of a day is productive, how much of a day is meaningful, and how much of it is unfortunately squandered through so many different things. But I will say there's something else. We'll pick up with the rest of the story tomorrow. I just want to end off with this. You know that Rabbi Nachman of Breslov highlights, he says, this is why on Pesach, by Yachatz, we break the middle matzah. He says, one of the symbolisms is that the three matzahs represent Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why do we break the Yitzchak matzah? Symbolizing this Gemara, where Yitzchak Avinu says, Chetzi alai v'chetzi alecha. You absorb half of the guilt of Klal Yisrael, I'll absorb half of the guilt of Klal Yisrael. We break the middle of Yitzchak matzah. So we'll have to stop over here. We'll finish off that narrative in Yeretz Hashem tomorrow. Yasha Koch. Everyone will say, for those of you who are joining us on the Zoom Shachris from the Shul parking lot, we begin with Mizmor Shir at 7 o'clock. So I'm going to end this Zoom room, and you could just simply log back in, same exact address, and we have to show a few minutes before 7. Yasha Koch, everyone. Have a wonderful day.